Hi there. Editor Simon here. Just a quick reminder to check your local fire safety regulations before you start a fire in any space.
Hello again, Bren. It's Ben here for Stove Stop.
Hey Ben, Brian here as well. This is part of our Quetico set, so we are doing Stove Stop in front of each other, in the same place, in the sun, in Canada. How nice.
It's fantastic, and I believe today we're having a mystery episode.
Yeah, Simon's got something in his hand, and who knows what it is.
Here you guys go.
Oh, cheers. Cool.
So what do you think this is?
Well, it says wood stove, and it says elk kit on the bag.
Wow.
It's very tiny, though.
It's very tiny. It's probably about 500 grams. I don't know, maybe a bit less.
Looks like a mobile phone in a bag.
It does indeed. Let's just open it up.
Yeah, yeah.
And I have to say, we do have a supply of wood, so maybe we're to boil some water. We should do, shouldn't
definitely
we?
Time for a cup of tea.
Definitely. So I'm opening it up, and inside there are some metal sheets. I'll pass those to you.
Sure. Okay, four metal bits.
And there's another one.
Five metal bits.
And a couple of metal rods.
And you got some instructions.
So it looks like it's tongue and groove, side pieces. Those ones are the side pieces. Yeah. That way around, yeah.
Oh, nice stainless.
So it's stainless steel. It looks like it's going to make a firebox.
I think assembly time probably varies depending who's assembling it. live recording here, as you can tell, one of our neighbours has just started his truck up. He's going off with his canoe. Okay, so we're just about assembled this. It says Elk Kit on the outside. It makes a wee firebox about 6 inches long.
3.5 inches wide.
Yeah, and maybe 3 inches deep. And the whole thing sits on legs about an inch off the ground. It's a little bit wobbly.
That's why where I think these pins come in.
Okay, so there's these long metal pins that go across. There's one, there's another one. Wonder if that makes it any more rigid. Looks like it also provides a pot stand. Oh yeah, much more rigid, and it provides a pot stand. That looks quite pretty.
And I think today we're going to try and boil some water using the Stolo stove pot. Mm-hmm. That we discussed on a previous episode.
On the mystery Elk Kit stove that was... It's a new one to me.
Well, and it looks like there's plenty of space for wood. And that very full pot fits quite nicely. Yeah. We've got just under 0.8 of a litre of water in there. Should we see how long it takes to
get
going?
Yeah. Do you want to... So the pot sits kind of at one end, or towards one end, and it leaves a space maybe... a couple of inches by an inch and a half to chuck wood in at the other end at the top. So it's a rectangular top, which is unusual for a stove. So should we put the space at your end, Ben, because that's nearest the wood supply?
Yes.
And then we're not going to be faffing.
Perfect. And why don't we put a little bit of birch bark in the bottom.
Everyone loves birch bark.
And some additional wood bits on top of the birch bark, and then we can...
And let's use loads of birch bark, because it would be really embarrassing if we can't light this.
Yeah. So that's quite a lot. Do you want more?
Let's go with that and see what happens.
Okay. And then once that gets going, we'll put some little woods. And this is all found wood we're burning today, because we were told to collect some. And I'm using lots of little pieces. And so far, it seems pretty amazingly easy to get a fire going. We've got a good breeze. I'm going to put the pot on top of the pot stand.
Yeah, go for it.
And we'll just keep feeding it. What's your first impressions?
Looks reasonably made. Quite a sensible design. It's got air holes in the bottom, so that's great. It's also got two of the sides are kind of hollow cuboids with a line of air holes at the outside at the bottom and a line of in holes at the inside at the top, if that makes sense. So it's not quite wood gasifier, but it definitely adds a secondary oxygen supply near the top. Be interesting to see if that works or if that's just a bit weird.
We do have my homemade windbreak if we need it, but so far I think it's going okay. And it seems like admittedly, we're creating a lot of fire at the far end, right underneath the pot.
Well, that's the probably the place to create it.
It's not the biggest of fires. So we've got a lot of smoke. Admittedly, we did have that torrential thunderstorm this morning, so some of this will be damp.
It's not going to be the driest wood. So that might be a slight unfair disadvantage to the stove.
But we've not added any more birch bark to create just flames. And I'm gently, in every few seconds, adding extra small twigs.
And I'm leaving it well alone, because nobody needs two people fiddling with the stove at the same time.
And I think, you know, one of the advantages is I can actually see, unlike the Kelly kettle, unlike the solar stove, two things are happening. First off, I can see the fire really easily from this angle. You were quite right to turn the whole kit round so I could see, but I've got a really nice view of the fire. The other piece is, unlike the solar stove, I feel like the firebox itself is substantially bigger. So I'm putting in slightly longer twigs, which then I can push into the fire if quite easily.
Yeah.
You know, and this is quite damp.
I wonder if the length of this, about 6 inches, means you could get like a, you know, smallish frying pan on there as well, like a two-person frying pan.
Yeah, maybe. You
need to get a lot of heat into it first.
You would, wouldn't you? And the other piece is that you do have those two tines, the metal sticks that go across the top of the stove itself. And certainly those are what the pot is now balancing on. So, I don't know, you could go with much bigger.
Do you know what? I think the pot would balance without it. I think the pot will balance on the two edges.
We could
use either end.
Okay.
But who knows? It maybe needs a few goes.
Yeah, well, I'm happy to experiment.
Do we think these air holes at the top are doing anything much? I'm not getting the impression there's a lot going on. Or maybe. Maybe there's a wee few flames near the top.
Yeah, that might just be my birch bark I put in. And so far, I'm just using the breeze. I haven't blown in to create extra. But I know we could do, if that's something we'd be excited by as a group. I'm just going to lift the top of the stove up. And it's still cold.
Okay.
Even though we do have a pretty solid flame going underneath. I wonder if the windbreak would hold a bit more.
Okay, how much water's in there?
0.8 of a litre.
Harsh.
That is harsh.
That's harsh. I think for a little wood-burning stove, you're asking a lot.
But we've had success with both the solo stove and the Kelly kettle. Okay. And the Kelly is, after all, the aluminium standard, as I call it. And now, actually, Brendan's just put the windbreak in, and we've got a much better fire all of a sudden.
Do you think it doesn't look loads more smoky?
No, but I'm seeing a lot more flame.
Okay.
So well,
there's quite a lot of wood gas flowing up to the top now.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of steaming and smoking. We've definitely got some damp twigs in there.
Yeah.
We should try this on a really dry day too.
Yeah, that's for sure. But it's been good so far.
Yeah, there's a few wood-burning stoves that really, really struggle unless it's very, very dry. So this is at least halfway through the pack.
And, you know, that wood is snapping quite easily. And I wonder how much of the wood is actually going underneath the pot. I'm just going to flip a bit in. A lot of that flame is not underneath the pot, but that's okay. We're getting there.
Do you want to move the pot along a bit?
No, I think we're good. Now I'm seeing flame coming out from the gasifying holes.
Okay.
I think it just took a little bit of time and a bit more fuel. I don't know how great this is going to be as an audio experience, but I'm certainly enjoying feeding it.
Well, let's see what the editor decides. He gets the final say on all these things. You know he'll be expecting a cup of tea out of this?
More than likely. Did we set our cups and tea bags? I think we did.
Which cup's yours? Is yours the red one?
Mine is the red one, I think. Yeah.
Okay. Two cups.
So I'm just going to point out that when it's really going and I've got all this flame coming out of the spare end, as it were, not the area that the pot is under, on top of, I should say, sorry, not under. I'm a little nervous about adding in extra wood to get it down and in because I've got flame pretty near the top now. But that's just my own comfort. I'm getting used to using this.
So we should maybe mention the company that makes this elm kit.
Yeah, you know much about them?
Pretty well known in the UK. I don't know if they're well known over here or not. But in the UK, they started maybe 10, 15 years ago. It kind of I'm sure they disagree with this, but kind of looking at other designs in the outdoor world, especially climbing and running, and trying to make designs that had all the advantages, or lots of the advantages, without the price. So they're making kind of cheap, good quality gear, lots of it made in the UK. They now make some very, very fancy gear, including their own bicycles, some lovely stoves. But I didn't know they made a wood-burning stove.
Well, I'm just snapping some extra wood in. I feel like I've put as much wood in as I would do with a Kelly kettle.
Really?
Wow. Maybe a bit more. And I've got, you know, I'm not doing much to it. I'm getting an ongoing burn with relatively damp wood. I'm getting a lot of smoke. Should we lift the lid off again and see where we're at?
Yeah, it's hotter than blood temperature, but it ain't tea-making temperature. Maybe 45 degrees centigrade. Okay. That was a tough challenge filling the whole pot up.
Well, how long did it take us to get the solo stove going? I think, you know, this is a fair experiment to use the same bit of kit. That way I'm not blackening two pots. Yeah. But looking at it, I'm getting a lot of smoke, a fair bit of flame. I wonder if I overfed the fire. I don't know, but you're quite right. It is quite a tough challenge, given how generally damp the wood is. I haven't gone out to find dry wood, but certainly we have chunks of it going in. But we definitely have, on the upwind side, we have flames coming out of those secondary holes at the top.
One thing that's nice is about this, I'm looking at the footprint, and it's basically standing on two flat end panels. The rest of it's quite high off the ground. I don't think it's going to make much of a mess of the ground. You really shouldn't be using a wood-burning stove straight on the ground, really. You can help it, but this one doesn't make much of a mess. I think compared with using a Kelly kettle on a grassy area, it's a lot.
Nah, the legs are warm, but they're not baking hot.
Yeah.
I'm just going to put the shield in again, see if that helps. And indeed, look at the flame that comes right up, just blocking off some of that heat.
We should really try and do a run time with the shield and without the shield, I guess.
Yeah.
Ah, so many things to do in so little time.
I'm getting a little impatient for my team, but I am enjoying stuff. I really like the fact that I can see the fire. Interestingly, the instructions, although we looked through them very quickly, I don't think gave us any information about where best to put a pot on top or a pan on top.
I have to go back to Helpkit's website and see if there's a how-to or a box opening.
Or a photograph of how they put stuff together, but maybe there's a better optimization. We've got some fairly hefty bits of wood in there, and I feel like it's been a fairly long record. We're now at least 10 minutes after we lit it, and we still don't yet have...
We haven't got any tea.
We haven't got any tea, which is, you know, the whole point of...
But I think a few years ago I had one of those square... Was it a honey stove? Some of those square stoves that sort of slot together out of flat panels.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is doing slightly better than that. They were really quite hard work, unless you've got really, really dry sticks. This seems a bit nicer.
And again, the advantage is that you're not paying for any fuel.
Yep.
And it really did flat pack down when we opened it up. Just ever so slightly bigger than a cell phone, mobile phone. Yep. I'm going to take away the shield again, see what happens. And I think I might just have so much wood in there now that we're good.
Yeah, you've got a critical mass, I think.
Yeah, maybe that was also part of the issue.
There's loads of resin dripping out of somewhere. That pot's going to take a bit of cleaning, and there's actually black resin dripping down one of the legs of the stove too.
We should say that we've got this propped up in a safe area.
We've actually got it on top of the metal grill of a Canadian provincial fire pit.
So no risk of damaging any grass or risk of spreading the fire.
I mean, that's always one thing about these. It's got holes in the bottom and things can easily fall through it onto the ground. So especially if you're in a dry area, if it's been dry recently, do think about not doing something really, really stupid.
Well, that's certainly not the case today with that thunderstorm for about an hour and a half. It was just torrential. So we have the tea bags ready, the cups ready.
Yep.
I'm going to take off the lid. Oh, it looks like it's beginning to bubble.
Yeah, too hard to put your fingers in.
And we're at least 18 minutes in. And again, you're quite right. We might have to figure out the best optimization of wood to dryness to heat. But
yeah. So 18 minutes might be, 18, 20 minutes might be absolutely as slow as it gets. But it does work
Yeah.
I mean, we were 3 inches deep in water this morning, and 4 hours later the sun's out, and we're managing to find wood on the ground and get this to work, which is something.
Yeah. And I am quietly, but quite obsessively, I'm stoking it. Really, yeah. Keep adding the fuel. The amount that we collected, pretty much all of it's gone.
Mm-hmm. So I guess a cup of tea, noodly meals for one person.
Yeah.
Fry a couple of eggs. I think you could do one person overnight.
You could do one person overnight.
Dinner and breakfast
with
this.
I wouldn't do it inside a tent, or even probably in the vestibule of a tent, just given the heat that it's giving off.
Well, no, it sticks and it's a fire. I wouldn't go anywhere near a tent with it.
No.
But it'd be a nice thing to have on a beach somewhere, or on a flat rock or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, so one other point is it would be a great stove to take as your backup. So if you've got a gas stove, you run out of gas, you know, that's the last 5 or 10 minutes you need to finish off a meal. Gets you out of trouble with cups of tea.
I can see that. It's so small and compact in your pack. It really doesn't weigh very much at all.
A couple of hundred grams, maybe. A
couple of hundred at most. So, that's a really good point about having it as a backup stove if you really need it. Although, if you're going and you're relaxed, I could see this being a fun first type stove too.
Maybe a nice stove for kids, because there's not too much fire involved, just a little bit. And it does look kind of cool.
It does. It's one of the first ones I've seen in a while that's rectangular, square, and certainly in terms of where it's going to go in your pack, most rucksacks, backpacks have those zipped tops, mm-hmm. pockets. It's going to take up almost no room in one of those.
Yeah.
So that's, a lot of pluses.
Yeah, no moving parts.
No.
Nothing really to go wrong. Nothing seems to be flexing
or bending
or bowing with the heat. And as well as anything else, it's quite a good fun product, really.
Yeah.
Who doesn't like having a wee fire? Oh, wind's just got up. Man, that's a big bit of wood. Is that going to be okay?
Yeah, it's going to cope.
Yeah.
Until probably the size of my thumb, maybe a bit bigger than that. The wind has really picked up. Have to break some wood, more wood, to get in here, because the pile that we collected for our mystery project is almost out.
And price-wise, I think this is definitely the budget end of the market. So we're maybe comparing apples with pears as well, looking at a solo stove versus this.
Well, if I remember rightly, that solo stove with the pot was in the region of £110, the two pieces. I don't know how much this one would be, but...
But you've added the solo pot to it.
I have added the solo pot to it, so that was a good 45.
Yeah, I think the solo pot is worth a fair bit more than the stove.
It's a great tech kind of design, though.
It's just a mini firebox, really, isn't
it? Yeah, and it hasn't been difficult sustaining the fire. It's just we're not getting all of the heat up into the pot. But maybe a pan is a better option. Maybe this would be better for sausages or for those sorts of things.
Yeah, perhaps. Shall I take the lid off and see what's happening? It's just about boiling, isn't it?
It's just about boiling. We've got steam coming off the top, some bubbles on the side of the pot. That's good for tea.
Fancy a couple?
I do fancy a couple. Well, this mystery event has been quite enjoyable. Let's pour our tea and have a look. Probably, actually, having you lifted the pot off, the far end of the stove still has...
Tons of wood to go.
So, there we go.
Yeah, I reckon dry sticks and little sticks, we could have probably got that.
Is there still water in the pot?
Going a bit.
Should we?
150ml, let's see, stick it back on.
Stick it back on and not add any more wood.
Let's give the tea a minute to brew.
Yeah, well, thanks very much. That was a pleasurable experience.
Always.
We'll chat to you again.
Okay, nice to chat to you, folks.
Nice to chat to you too. And I think we're being encouraged to remind people that you can contact us via email at stovestop.benandbren@gmail.com. If you have any questions or suggestions, do email us. We look forward to hearing from you. The details are also in the show notes. Goodbye.